Oh, hallelujah. You know, that song is so powerful because you can feel yourself at the throne room of God just singing to Him. You are worthy of it all. You are worthy of it all. Whew, hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. I wish I could sing right now, but I can't. But Lord, you are worthy of it all. Oh, hallelujah. Where's my daughter? Where's my daughter? Michaela? Yeah, come on. She can sing. I can't sing. Hallelujah. That's the great thing about being on the worship team. You never know it, and you're the only member here, so you get called out. Water. Can you do whatever, the verse, you were worthy of it all, or I exalt thee, or something, but we need something. Go for it. Hallelujah. And all.
your dad first. Today is the day to come home to your father. This is a home here. This is where you come back to your dad, who knows every hair in your head. The Lord says, for I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans to prosper you, not to harm you, plans to give you a hope and a future. You came in here hopeless. Your dad, he has a hope for you. He has a plan for you. He loves you. He loves you. He put you here for a purpose. If you came here without purpose, you're going to find purpose today. Because your father loves you. He gives you an assignment. You have a purpose. You are loved. If someone said you aren't loved, that was a lie. It's not worth anything. If there is hate against you, you're laying it down here today. This is a place to lay it down, all that hurt, and come to the Father's arms. Because he loves you. No matter how old you are, how young you are, what you've done in the past, God doesn't look at that. The prodigal son, look what he did. His father killed a fat calf for him. He gave him his best robe.
Amen.
I don't have any robes here, physically. But the father, he has a robe for you.
Amen.
But you have to choose to put it on.
Amen.
When he hands it to you, it's your choice.
That's right.
You have a free will. He gave us a free will. So now it's your choice of entering in.
The presence of the Lord is so sweet, and it messes me up every time because I'm so in awe of who God is. Exactly what she said, just enter in. His presence and his peace, his healing is here right now. You know, you can have the best worship band, but there's nothing like when the anointing falls and just God's people using their instrument, their voice, to sing praises unto him. It's such a sweet, sweet sound because he looks at your heart. And exactly what she said, if you came in hopeless today, he has hope for you. If you came in feeling purposeless, he has purpose for you. If you came in feeling condemned, he has freedom for you today. If you came in bound to something, he has freedom for you today. If you came in feeling shackled with guilt and shame, I'm telling you, he has freedom for you to dance and to be light. You will not walk out of here heavy in Jesus' name. One touch from the Lord and it will change everything. But you have to tell the enemy, I won't walk in condemnation anymore. I won't walk in this stronghold anymore. If you came in sick, I'm telling you, you're walking out healed because the spirit of infirmity can't be here in Jesus' name. Woo! We are a church of freedom. We are a church of freedom because we're the church of Jesus Christ and he came to set the captives free. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
It says, whom the Son sets free is free indeed. So if you know the Lord and you're saying, I've been bound in this, you don't understand, then you don't really know what God's done for you. Because if you're a child of God, you've been called to be free. And you are free. All you have to do is walk in it. In Jesus' name. Whoo, hallelujah. It's like, I don't know, the Lord's just telling me this. It's like you have a bank account hidden somewhere and you've chosen not to look at it, but you're not looking at it and there's more than enough for what you have need of, but you've got to go look for it. You can't just sit it to the side and say, I'll look at it later, because the provision for you is already there. All you have to do is look at it and receive it, because every good and perfect gift comes from God above. Hallelujah. All you have to do is tap into the promises that God has for you. Speak them. Don't believe the lie of religion that says you have to be down and out all the time. No, we're a God that says speak it, claim it, and take it. Because God said it, I believe it, and that settles it. Amen? And if he says I'm healed, then I'm healed. If he says I'll never walk in lack because I'm a giver, I'm not walking in lack. When lack tries to come, I say no. When the spirit of infirmity tries to come, I say no. Because I know the promises of what God has given to me. What I'm walking in, they're already mine. I don't have to chase after them. I don't have to go looking for them. They're already mine. All I have to do is receive them in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Woo! Hallelujah. I don't know what you want to do. You can run, you can sing, you can dance, you can shout, you can, I don't care, sit. I don't really know what to tell you to do. Just do whatever you feel like doing. Except coming up here, because the ushers will tackle you. But, woo, hallelujah. I'm supposed to be doing the offering. Praise God. Amen. Hallelujah. Woo, hallelujah. I'm telling you, God is so good. If you don't, if you're just visiting our church, we don't have a program. We don't follow by a certain way of doing things. We follow the Holy Ghost and wherever the Holy Ghost goes. So if you thought, well, I wonder how long this service is going to be, guess what? We don't know how long the service is either because we go with the Holy Ghost. Amen? Amen. So we have found that it is better to go with the Holy Ghost than to go with man's ways because his ways and thoughts are higher than ours. So for those people that want to know Pastor David's sermon title, that doesn't sometimes happen till Sunday morning. Sometimes those that want to know who's going to preach, that doesn't happen till Sunday morning sometimes. And sometimes we prepare a sermon and it's not even what gets preached that Sunday. So praise God. I can tell you that you want to go with the Holy Ghost over man any day of the week. Amen. Woo, hallelujah. How many of you have been blessed so far? How many of you know that the presence of God is here right now? All you have to do is receive. And maybe you're here for the first time and you're like, I've never experienced anything like that. This is called freedom. This is what God intended. God intended for you to walk in freedom. He didn't intend for you to be bound to a program at a church. He intended for you to enter into his presence and receive what he has for you. That's what you're here for today, to receive. So I hope you do receive. Today I'm going to do the offering. And this is what the Lord woke me up. Funny thing is, Pastor David was supposed to be doing the offering, and I was supposed to be preaching today. And bless his heart, he was like, oh, I got to get the offering together. I said, oh, you were supposed to do that because I was supposed to preach. So I'm going to do the offering for you since you're preaching for me. So we swapped first thing this morning. And it was funny because the Lord woke me up at like 3 o'clock, 4 o'clock this morning. And I just heard it in my head. And I have been listening to Jonathan. He preaches some of these things, but a lot of things were stirring in me. Then he preaches and I'm like, oh yeah, that's right. And something that's been stirring in me is that a lot of times we say this. We say, even if I wasn't going to get anything, I'd still sow. And I've said it before, I'm guilty. But here's the thing. God is a God of sowing and reaping. So if you sow, you will reap. So you can say all day long, I can sow and not reap, but then you're not even believing God is who he is. Because he said, if you sow, you shall reap. And what you sow, you shall reap. So I'm telling you this morning, as you give, you better be expecting a harvest. Don't just throw that. You don't walk past your garden. Well, maybe some of you do if you don't like to garden. Just throw your seed out there and be like, yeah, I hope it produces. No, you go out there and you sow that seed and you believe it's going to produce. When you sow into the kingdom of God, you can expect not just a little harvest, but a big harvest. Hallelujah. Because you're sowing into the best ground that you could ever sow into. That's the great thing about God. That's the great thing about the kingdom of God. If you have a garden, as you know, Pastor David and I come from farming families. Man, we did soil tests and we had to do all kinds of stuff. Here's the great thing. The kingdom of God is perfectly balanced to produce the best harvest you will ever see. That's all it is. It's good ground to sow into. Amen? Amen. It says in 2 Corinthians 9:6, but I say this, but this I say, he who sows sparingly will also reap sparingly, and he who sows bountifully will also reap bountifully. Who wants to reap bountifully? Oh my gosh. Who wants to reap sparingly? Because whoever didn't raise their hand to reap bountifully means you want to reap sparingly. I want to reap bountifully. Who wants to reap bountifully? Amen. Then you know what you got to do? You got to sow bountifully. Amen. Here's the thing. The world tells you to say, I don't have enough. Guess what? You don't serve a God of not enough. You serve a God of more than enough. And he will provide for you. It says he will take care of you. It says he will give seed to the sower. So I'm going to tell you, when my bank account starts to look like I can't, first of all, Evangelist Nick totally corrected me on that. We're not allowed to say the word I can't. And we're not allowed to say the word it's too expensive. So we don't say any of that anymore in our house. And when we do, we smack each other. No, I'm just kidding. We don't smack each other. We smack each other with the word. So when I start to feel like I might not be able to give, do you know what I start doing? I start purposing in my heart, I'm going to give more. I'm giving more this month than I've ever given before because I know who my dad is. And my dad is a dad of more than enough. He doesn't have lack. He doesn't say, sorry, can't take care of you this month. No, he doesn't say that. But he also says we live by faith and not by sight. This is the whole thing about standing on the promises of God. And it says, so let each one give as he purposes in his heart, not grudgingly or of necessity. I don't give grudgingly. I don't go, oh, Lord, you're going to have to rip it out of my hand. No, I'm ready to like, yes, wherever you want me to sow this seed, I'm going to sow it. And I'm going to tell you something else. I'm sowing seed into the kingdom of God before I sow seed into anything material. Come on. You want that big old TV? You'll pay $1,200 for that big old TV, but you won't give $1,200 to the kingdom of God? Ooh, ouch. Where's your heart? Come on. I'm preaching better than you're shouting. Maybe you guys stepped on your toes. But I'm sowing into the kingdom of God. But religion is like, well, the church is poverty ridden. I don't know what church you're going to, but that's not this church. Because we're giving. We're giving. When Evangelist Nick came, we gave him a check before he ever got a check from anybody else. The church gave him a check because we're blessed. Amen? We tithe to other ministries from this church. We're believing for land and a building. Amen? Come on. And I know my dad. He can do it. So you got a purpose in your heart, but you've got to decide in your heart that the kingdom of God is where I want to sow into. That's where I'm going to reap my harvest from. That's what I'm sowing into. And not grudgingly of necessity. Well, pastor told me that I have to tithe. No. You're like, yes, I get to tithe. Hallelujah. That's where your heart comes from. That's purposing in your heart. And let me tell you something. If you purpose in your heart, I'm a tither and I'm giving and I have tither's rights, as Miss Suzanne always says, praise God, then it doesn't matter what your bank account looks like. Your tithe is the first thing because you've purposed in your heart. You've decided I'm tithing no matter what. I don't care what this month looks like because it says God loves a sparingly giver. A cheerful giver. Hallelujah. And God is able to make all grace abound towards you, that you always having all sufficiency. Sufficiency means having everything. Maybe you've heard this and you're like, well, I have to work and do it on my own. That's where you've missed it. Because when you tithe and you give, you're putting it on the Lord to take care of you. It's not by your work. It's not by you getting the extra hours. Maybe you'll have favor for extra hours, but it's not you trying to figure it out. It's you saying, God, I've tithed and I've given, and you said I will be all sufficient in everything. Then you put it back on the Lord. See, that's putting a demand on your seed. Listen, you can go out to your garden. When you plant that garden, I've spoken to plants before. And if y'all know me and how I used to be, I killed everything. So I had to speak to plants for them to live. But you can go out there and say, that will produce in Jesus' name. You know, Pastor David and Mike were talking about resurrecting animals. I had to resurrect plants a lot of times. But you can speak to that seed to grow in Jesus' name. So when you sow into the kingdom of God, you say, I'm expecting a harvest. Lord, I thank you that my bills are paid. Lord, I thank you that anything that might come up, you have it taken care of in Jesus' name. Because that's your right. Whew. It says, and they have an abundance. So it's not just enough, it's having more than enough. How many of you want more than enough? Amen. And let me tell you, you're not blessed to keep it all for yourself. You're blessed to give to others. And as you give, it will come back to you. Because I'm telling you, when you start giving to other people, one, it blesses you. There's nothing like somebody, we helped somebody last month, and I'm telling you, we had that money and it was ready to go, and I was excited. Because you know people around here. We got lots of people that give. And anybody has a need, they're like passing out money. And I'm like, I want to be that person. I want to do that. Well, if you purpose in your heart to start following what God says, you'll have more than enough so that you can do it. Somebody's in need, you're like, hey, I got this. I'll take care of you. Amen. But where's your heart? Do you want the abundance for yourself? Don't eat your seed. That's what the Lord said to me. Don't eat your seed. It says he gives seed to the sower. But sometimes we eat our seed. Don't eat your seed. You need to ask the Lord, who is this for? I'm so sorry. I'm going to drink your water. I'll get you another one. I don't want to put lipstick on them. My throat is dry. All right. Let me give you this other scripture. I'm telling you, if you don't know how to laugh, we might not be your church because we do a lot of laughing around here. We don't always have it all together. Woo, hallelujah. It says, Galatians 6:7. Do not be deceived. God is not mocked. For whatever a man sows, so you want to sow discord? You want to sow hate? You want to sow sparingly? You're going to reap that. Because it says, God will not be mocked. For whatever a man sows, that he will also reap. Come on. Nobody wants to talk about that. What you sow, you start sowing words that aren't nice about other people, you reap that. You start sowing whatever it is you want to talk about, hate, all that stuff, you're going to reap that. But if you sow love, peace, joy, and you sow into the kingdom of God, you're going to reap that. That's what I'm reaping in Jesus' name. I'm going to sow telling people about eternal life, and I'm going to reap rewards in heaven for that. Because it says, for he who sows to his flesh will of the flesh reap corruption, but he who sows to the Spirit will of the Spirit reap everlasting life. Hallelujah. So even sowing by going out and soul winning, you're going to reap a harvest for that. Woo! Malachi 3:10 says, bring all the tithes into the storehouse, that there may be food in my house, and try me now in this. So when you sow, you can try the Lord in this. It says, the Lord of hosts, if I will not open for you the windows of heaven. Hallelujah. If you're a tither, you can say, Lord, I thank you that you're opening the windows of heaven for me, and you will pour out a blessing that there will not be enough room to receive it. Hallelujah. But you know what? When I was reading that this morning, it says, and there may be food in my house. So when you tithe, the church will have food in the house to be able to give to. So it's not just you that gets blessed. The church gets blessed. And as the church goes out, your tithe is going out. Your tithe is going to Haiti this week to see them win souls. Those souls in there because of what you've poured in. And so Pastor David can be full time. So he can have these meetings when they pop up. Come on. It's so much more. You think it's just so we can keep the lights on in the building and be here, but there's so much more that is happening. And you're blessed and we're blessed, and it just goes all around. Amen. And God multiplies your seed. Hallelujah. I thought I had that scripture. Amen. Woo. So what are you going to sow this morning? You got a purpose in your heart, which you're going to sow. And it's more than just a tithe. People get like, well, yay, I tithe. But I'm going to tell you, your offering is a way to give. Your offering is where it's at because it's above what the Lord has asked of you. Your offering. I remember giving $5 offerings when we were in Bible school. I just purposed in my heart. We did not have $5. We did not have $1 extra to give, if you want to know the truth. And I decided, no, I'm going to sow something. I got to give above my tithe because I want to do more. And that $5 made it so Pastor David didn't have to work overtime. I will never forget it. We started looking at our bank account, and I don't know how it happened because nothing changed but God. He started multiplying our seed. He started stretching our bank account to where it needed to go. And it was a $5 offering above our tithe. But $5 for us was a lot. So I'm telling you, that offering is you saying, Lord, I not just trust you to tithe, I'm trusting you to give an offering. Amen? So purpose in your heart. And I forgot to say about the ushers. Ushers, there's envelopes on the back of the chairs with pens, and then the ushers are getting ready to serve you. Who's ready to give this morning? Who's ready to sow bountifully and reap bountifully? Amen? Hallelujah. Who is a cheerful giver this morning? Woo! Hallelujah. Praise God. So ushers, if you can come forward, we can have some music so I don't feel like I have to talk the whole time. And in Malachi, it says that he will rebuke the devourer for your sake. I will rebuke the devourer for your sake so that he will not destroy the fruit of your ground. So when you tithe, your fruit is protected. Because the Lord says he will rebuke the devourer for your sake for the fruit of your ground. Hallelujah. You have good fruit. So claim that this morning as you sow. Expect a harvest. Expect to see things change. Don't just throw that seed in there and not expect anything. So Lord, I just reach your hands to heaven. Lord, I thank you for this tithe and offering. Lord, I thank you that you multiply this seed. I thank you, Lord, that every person that has given, that there will be an abundance in their life. There will be overflow. We're expecting to see bills paid. We're expecting to be debt free in Jesus' name. Lord, I thank you for what you have for this church and these people, Father God. And we just expect it now in Jesus' mighty name. Amen.
Amen. Hallelujah. God is good, isn't he?
Amen.
Amen. All the time. Now, you know, my wife, you know, having a Holy Spirit church or open to the things of God, I was sitting there thinking, well, she may have the service as well. You know, she may preach the whole thing and I just may sit there, and that's totally fine. And but we just go with what God has. And it's interesting because I do want to say happy Father's Day. Being a father, having a father, it's a special day. But at the same time, I realize that where everything falls short in this life, God makes up the difference.
Amen.
And I realize that I say that not judging anybody, but I say that looking at myself. That as a father, there's things that I do my best, but I rely on God to do the rest. I rely on God to help me, give me wisdom on how to do things, how to not only love my wife, but love my kids and raise them up in the things of God. And a father is a big task. And you may be sitting there this morning thinking, he's going to talk about Father's Day. Actually, I'm not. Because the Lord gave me a word, and when the Lord gives me a word to go on, I don't back off of it till I get to the place that I need to get to, and I get to where I have the peace on the inside. So today's message is, who are you? But the word he gave me is image. Just that, just the word image. And when the Lord gives you a word, that's all he gives you. And you think to yourself, what am I to do with this? What do you mean, Lord? And I start asking questions, why? Why is this? Well, this actually will touch on fathers, mothers, children, youth, every area of your life. And as a pastor, and as we come to church on Sunday, the Holy Spirit's going to meet each and every person right where they are. He'll meet you right where they are. What you have need of, God is going to touch on here this morning. And we haven't made noontime yet, so I still have time. God is going to touch on it this morning. Amen. But before we start, I want to pray. I want to thank those listening online. Lord, I thank you for this holy day, this Father's Day in June 2023. I say that because I thank you, Lord, that you're going to meet each and every person here this morning, Lord God, by your word and by your spirit, Lord God. Touch, change, and transform every single person here today. Whatever they have need of, Lord, only you know. You know what's needed here this morning. You know the hardship. You know the struggle. You know the trial. You know the temptation. You know the pain. You know the worry. You know the anxiety. You know the guilt, the heaviness, the burdens that is placed on each and every person, Lord God. And Father, I thank you by the blood of Jesus Christ, he can deliver them from all of it. And I thank you that today is their day of victory, triumph over the affairs of life and the works of darkness. I speak it now and declare it so. In Jesus' name, if you believe it, say amen. 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 Some of you believe it. Some of you are catching a hold of it. But God's got you. Amen. So the word image today, what a name this is. Because the word image can be defined many ways. And in the Google or Webster's, it says a representation of external form of something. It also means an impression that a person, organization, or product presents to the public. So there's your natural terms. The biblical term of image is the word resemblance. Resemblance. So I started praying into that. What does resemblance mean? What does it mean to resemble something? Because when people see an image, you think two different ways. You think, what image am I portraying, or what image do people see? But before you even can get to that outward view, you have to see the image of God that he sees in you. What does God say about you? What image do you portray, or that God has placed in you, or that you even believe that he has placed in you? Because image is way bigger than what we give it credit to. Why do I say that? Because image is in everything. You guys looking at me today, and I'm looking at you, there's images out here. Some of you may look at me, and we're not going to get into this, but there's an image you may feel or think, all right? You can laugh. It's okay to laugh. God does not get mad if you laugh, as long as you're not laughing at somebody else's mistake or fault, okay? So laughing is okay in the body of Christ, but image is such a big topic that we must understand that an image reveals what is going on. And an image is seen by the eyes of other people. So when we look at ourselves and we think, what image are we portraying? Because what we portray to people is based off of the image we see of ourselves. And that's what I want to talk about today. Because a lot of people are moved and walk in the image that others have portrayed upon them, not the image that God has placed in them. So what you resemble, is it based off of what is around you? Is your image of view of things and your self-image, is that based off of what's around you? Or is it based off of God's creative power that He put in you? And when you can answer that question, you'll realize that life is a whole lot easier if you chase God in the image He placed in you, the calling and the gifting on you, instead of everybody else's opinion about who you are. Because people's opinion will run you ragged. Husbands out there, I'm talking to you right now, listening online. Has anyone ever said to you, and I won't list names, but has anyone ever said, wife, children, friend, ever said to you, I wish you were more like so-and-so? Nobody's ever heard that. Okay. All right. I'll be honest with you. I have. I wish you were more like, what does that do to you internally when someone tells you they want you to be more like somebody else than what God created you to be? Instantly drop. And there's many dads out there where their kids are like, I wish you were more like so-and-so's parents. They let them do this, this, and this. Then you got to weigh as a parent, am I going to allow that or not? Or am I going to be a parent and make the decision and say, this is how it is in this house? Because as a parent and as a father, on Father's Day, you are the spiritual head that stands in the place and makes the hard decision. And your image is the one that's on the line. It's an interesting thing to look at image. And when the Lord allowed me to dive into this, and I got this word Friday morning, okay, so it wasn't like months of studying it out. It's out of my spirit what the Lord has given me. Let's go to 1 John 2. And as you turn there, I just want to explain to you that the greatest image people look at is self-image. You look at yourself and you gauge your self-image off of everything else around you. And the definition for self-image is one's abilities, appearance, and personality. What is the first thing people look at when they look at somebody? Their abilities, their appearance, or their personality. And they judge you based off of that. So image is so powerful that people around you look at you and base your ability and your personality off of other things. Think about this. Your image is being judged by others based off of past history, based off of numbers, based off of what's happened and what's going on around you. So the world looks at people based off of the history of how things are going. Meaning, when I played sports, I played lacrosse, so numbers were a thing. How many goals were scored on you? Baseball, pitcher, what's your ERA, right? Batter, your home runs. How many home runs? Everything's based off of numbers, and if your number isn't high enough, you're not good enough. And that's how the world looks at people. Well, you can't go to this college because your numbers aren't good enough. Your SAT is not high enough. Praise God, I went to a college that didn't even require SATs. And look what the Lord did. I'm not even in the field I went to college for. So the drive to go places and the push by society to put an image and a tag on people is all through a world system. And all you do is you're like a little gerbil or whatever that runs in the circle. And guess what? You can never get to an end. It's a never end process when the world puts an image on you. Because once you get to that place, then you got to stay there. And it's all in your power. It's all in your own ability to be able to be good enough for what society says you're good enough for. And a lot of dads are put on something because the dad on Facebook or Instagram that does everything for his wife and super romantic, super studly, you know, all those types of things. Everybody's comparing every other dad to that hunk. You can laugh all you want. I love preaching. I love talking about this stuff. Because that's not my image. And that's not what I'm striving for. Above is what I'm striving for. Amen. The image of God. Amen. I want to resemble God. Yeah. Because the physical, 80, 90 years, 100 years, dust. But I'm chasing that. People chase that with all their heart. That leads to death. People chase things in society, corporate ladder, money in your account, property, house. I'm not against any of that. But if it is your priority and that's what you live for, that's what you're going to die doing. Because you're trying to meet the image. You're trying to resemble best for society. I'm here to tell you, church, the body of Christ does not need to be chasing society. You're going to see society is going to be chasing the church because we have what they need. We have the image of Christ. We have the light of the gospel. We are the salt of the earth. We understand that we don't live in sin any longer. Sin, we are redeemed from the curse of the law of sin and death. See, we don't obey and we don't follow the standard of the world. We follow the image and the likeness of God. Amen. And that causes you to live a life free from the curse, free from people's words, free from people's thoughts and judgment and offense and guilt, free from what the government says about you. Think about that. The government puts you... I always get caught on this. Lord, deal with me about it. Hey, Holy Spirit. The government puts people in classes. The government puts images on people. You see it right now. People are getting things they don't deserve. Dare I say it? Reparations. Oh, we deserve. You don't deserve. Amen. Love people, the system. The system's image is corrupt. And when you feed into that system, it sucks you in like a vacuum. That's why at New Freedom Church, I have so many messages on the church phone line about the government has this because COVID, you suffered, so we want to give you money for your suffering and loss of money. No thanks. Different system. I don't want your money, government, because I don't want anything tied to you. Amen. So New Freedom Church didn't take any money from the government. Because when you take money, then you're going to end up paying it back. I don't care how free it is, it's not free. Yeah. All right? But that's an image they put. Salespeople, they put an image. If you buy this, you can have all of this. Then you buy it and you're like, oh my God, this doesn't even work. Right? But that image of it, let's go to Scripture. I'm going to prove it. 1 John 2:16-17. For all this in the world, everybody say world. Everything in the world, watch this now. The lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life is not of the Father, but is of the world. And the world is passing away in the lust of it. But he who does the will of God abides forever. He who does what? The will of God. Your image, your resemblance, what you do needs to be the will of God. Because you will abide forever. So what are the lusts of the flesh? The lust of the eyes. The word lust there is an interesting word. And it's not a good one. It's to desire forbidden things. That's what the word lust does. So desiring forbidden things of the flesh, things in the physical realm. That includes gluttony. Because it's desiring something to feed your flesh. A lot of young people with us today. So we'll just move on. You guys know the rest. The lusts of the flesh. That fulfills a lot of different... Everything in the flesh that's against the Word of God is a lust of the flesh. And it's temptation. And it'll lead to destruction, the Bible says. So don't allow the flesh to drive you or be your image. Because if you're doing that, you're going to spend a lot of money, a lot of time, a lot of worry trying to look a certain way or be a certain way. And what does the Bible say? What does it say? It's not of the Father, but it is of the world, and the world is passing away. The lust of the eyes, things you see, that is the key to image. You have to see it, right? So there's lust of our image, what we see. Everything has an image. Is it of God or is it of the world? We have to judge that. We have to see that. Because if you're going after something you see that's not of God, you're attracting yourself to something that's going to fail. You must be diligent to see with the eyes of God. All right, and resembling God, you do not see with your eyes, you see with your spirit. We walk by what? Faith, not by sight. So, men and women of God, I'm here to tell you, we must walk by our spirit, man, not by our eyes in what we see. Because what we see out there can be enticing to the eyes, but it'll wreck your faith, it'll wreck your spirit, man. And it'll end up wrecking your life. And that's what sin does. Why is sin so appeasing? Why does it look so good? Because it meets the eyes. You see it, and it entices you and leads you into a place that you ought not to be. Amen? Amen. And the pride of life. The word pride there is boasting. We see it all over society. That is the worldly image, is to boast. Look what I have. Look what I got. Look how big my truck is. Look how loud my truck is. Now it's like, look how low my truck is. You know, in my high school days, it was, look how big and loud and big wide tires my truck is. Now it's, look how flat it is with little bitty rubber tires on it. I don't understand. A lot of difference in 20 years, 30 years. But that's the image. That's the image. And thank God I never got caught up with it. One, I didn't have the money to keep up with it. Praise God, but it would lead you to places you ought not to be. I'm not against good things. I'm not against big trucks. All right, I'm not against low trucks. It's not that at all. All I'm saying is when you get caught up in that, you flow in that realm, and you get sucked into that realm of always trying to be better. And some people never get out of it. I mean, they're 60 years old with the big truck. You know, trying to be like a 20-year-old again. It happens. Anyway, not anointing. Let's keep going. So there's your self-will and there's God's will. Both produce an image. Both bring resemblance. What I mean by that is, in Genesis 5:3, it reads, "And Adam lived 130 years and begot a son in his own likeness and after his image and named him Seth." So what is that saying? Physically, our children, our offspring resemble us. My daughter, many people call her Little Lacey. She doesn't like it, so don't call her that. But the resemblance is there. Amen? Sorry, dear. The resemblance is there. My son, you can see they are our kids. And that's a blessing. Amen? That's a blessing. But that is part of it. That is the physical resemblance. Yes, there's DNA. Yes, there's traits. Yes, there's physical features. But there is a deeper, stronger, more permanent image placed in you than what your parents gave you. I know it's Father's Day, but there's a Heavenly Father that has placed things in you far before your parents were ever involved. And it just so happens, I'm going to turn there again to Jeremiah 1 that was shared earlier this morning, because that just fits right into my sermon today. And it's not, it may not, she'll have to look for it to put it on the screen because it's not my sermon. But it's amazing how the Lord works. Jeremiah 1:5, before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. God's saying, I know you, you resemble me even before you were conceived in the womb. Come on, so when you understand that God's creative power is in you before your parents were even involved, before you breathed your first breath, first things first, every single person has a resemblance in the image and likeness of God, whether they know it or not. All humanity is made by God. We are created in His likeness and in His image before you were born. Before you were born. Before you were born, I sanctified you, which is set apart. I ordained you a prophet to the nations. So you read that and you think, well, that's talking about Jeremiah. Well, guess what? He's ordained each and one of you, each and every one of you to do His will upon the earth. And that's every Bible, every word that's spoken is for you. You just need to see yourself in it. So before the foundation of the world, God knew you and God created you and God knows what you have need of. And He made you to resemble Christ. We are to be imitators of Christ, the Bible says. So there's a deeper, stronger, more permanent image placed in you than what your parents gave you. You guys may have great parents. I had great parents. Amen. My mom's here today. Great parents. But God has something that He has placed in me and created in me that has nothing to do with my parents. It has to do with my Heavenly Father and Him only. Giftings, talents, calling, all those things were placed in you before you even knew it. You may have a child that's running wild and free, may not even know God, love God, or want to know God. But inside of that young person, God has placed His calling and His gifting and His will inside of them. They just haven't seen it yet. They haven't seen it yet. It's there. It's always been said. In everybody's heart is a God-shaped void that only God can fill. And if you try to fill it with the images of the world, you can't. It's an empty space. And people go through life day in and day out trying to fill it with money, fame, fortune, material things, women, men, whatever it is. Try to fill it with any, but you can't fill it. You can't even touch it. Because God made it, and God's the only one. Jesus is the only one that can fill it. That's it. Jesus is the only one that can fill it. And that's why you need to know Jesus. Because that's the void, that's the area that will bring fulfillment to your life. And nothing else can do it. I don't care how much money you have. Millionaires are committing suicide, void. Billionaires committing suicide, void. Yet the person down the street that doesn't even have a house that finds Jesus has that void filled and has the peace of God. That's the resemblance I'm talking about. That's the image I'm talking about. You got to put the Lord into your life. He has got to be number one. Everything outflows from that. Your outer image is dictated by your inner image. How you see yourself is how others will see you. But you can buy all you want to try to cover it up. But the fruit will come out of the root. What's on the inside comes out. The abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. The joy of the Lord is your strength. A merry heart does good like medicine. Think about it. Everything is, what image do I see myself and God in my life? And when you answer that question, you see why things are happening and why situations around you are happening the way they are. When God is not number one, the world is number one, and the world goes crazy in your life. Absolute wild. Things are happening you don't understand. You have no grasp of anything. Can't sleep at night, on medication to sleep, on medication to wake up. I'm just being honest. I'm not against medication, but medicine does not heal your body. Medicine helps your body till your body gets healed. Think about it. Aspirin does not, ibuprofen does not cure your headache. It helps you function so your headache can go away. Everything, every medication. Then you read about them. I always get on this stuff. You read, this is going to help you do this. But here are the side effects. And I listen to them, I'm thinking, may cause heart attack. Oh my God, I'm thinking, can't sleep at night, high blood pressure. These are all the side effects because my ear itches. You understand what I'm saying? You take something and then you have to take medicine to help you deal with the medicine you're taking. That does not make sense at all to me. That's like if my leg got cut off at my knee, well, that one's shorter. Let me cut my other one off so we're even. That's what that amounts to. I know you're looking at me like this guy has lost his mind. But I look at things literally and very simplistic. Okay? That's how I am. Grew up dairy farmer. You see it, you do it, you get it done, all is well. Don't add to it, don't take away from it. I take the Bible literally. Amen. What the Bible says, he said it, I believe it, that settles it. I don't need any more. If he parted the Red Sea, he parted the Red Sea. I don't question it whether he parted the Red Sea. You know, if Jonah was in the belly of a fish, Jonah was in the belly of a fish. I don't ask those things or get caught up with the miracles because I believe them because I want the miracles. And the way to stop that is take the image of, well, I'm going to take parts of the Bible out and I'll believe what I think I can believe. And what do? You short-circuit God. You short-circuit your miracle because you only believe God so far. So many people are believing an image of the world and they can't get to the place that God has for them because they're stuck in the image of what somebody said to them 50 years ago. Or some teacher said, you're not good enough, you should be in remedial, or you need to be held back. I'm telling you, my GPA was okay. My SATs were horrible because I can't take tests. I'm not a test taker. Issue in my life. Big deal. I didn't want to go to college. Like I told my mom, I'm like, after high school, I'm done. I'm working at the farm. I'm going to work the rest of my... She's like, no, you're going to college. I'm like, oh, man. Chemistry. All the classes that a senior shouldn't be taking... I was taken. And I thought to myself, okay, I'll go 2 years and then I'll be done. After 2 years, I'll be done. I'm never going to take another test again. The Lord called me into Bible school. Here we go. 2 more years. More tests. CDL, tests. I'm thinking, geez, guess tests are never going to end. Life is a test. This is one of them right now. What image do you believe? That's your test. Do you believe what God's word says about you? Or do you believe what the world's going to say about you? That's the test you need to pass today. Today! You can pass that test today. Stop believing the lie that the world portrays or the lie of the enemy about you. Genesis 1, 26 and 27. I believe the Lord is speaking to some people here this morning. In fact, I know he is, because I can say he's speaking to me. In Genesis 1, 26, then God said, let us make man in our image according to our likeness. Let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, the birds of the air, the cattle over the earth, and every creeping thing that creeps on the earth. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him male and female, he created them. So before I get started, anytime I read male and female, I think about our society and I'm thinking, Lord, have mercy, that image is corrupt and evil to the core. Bottom line. And I pray for our fellow denominations that are struggling with this matter, but I send them Romans 1. Read your Bible. Read your Bible. There's male and female. There's no lust of the flesh, lust of the eyes, pride of life. When you're confused, you'll do things to your body to help you feel better about yourself because you're hurting on the inside. When you're whole on the inside, you're free on the outside. When you are whole by the blood of Jesus and the Spirit of the living God, you don't want to do any, you're happy with yourself. You don't need to transform anything or change anything. Just seek the Lord. Image of God. When you know what God made you, you're happy with it. You don't have to change it. Anyway, I won't get talking about that. Back to verse 26. It says, let us make man. That word make is accomplish, bring forth, or furnish. The whole Godhead, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, furnished you with their attributes. Think about that. All of heaven, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, furnished you, created you to be like them. People say, well, I can't talk to God. God's up here. God created you like Him. Not to be separate from Him, but to be one with Him. When you're like something, or you're in the image of something, you resemble them. There's something in you that resembles the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Watch this now. Watch this now. You're going to see something here. There is a priority in everything. Whose image do you believe? What image are you accepting? Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. When you look at the world looks at you and says you're not good enough. Here's one of the main things the world looks at people with a view of when it comes to image. It gets you in the lie of comparison. You compare yourself with others. Your neighbor has nice grass, you got to do more to get nice grass. Right? You laugh about that. People spend lots of money on their grass. Lots of money. Then they put the irrigation in. Then they got to buy a mower to keep... If it gets dry and my grass turns brown, I don't have to mow it. Praise the Lord. Amen. All is well. Amen. I'll just let the Lord handle it. Okay? I don't need to spend money on something to do more work. All right? My dad always used to say, these people, they buy all this fitness material and put in their basement and never use it. They could get a push lawnmower, not pay for the grass, and get their exercise all at the same time. I thought, that's a brilliant idea, Dad. Brilliant idea. I do have a zero-turn mower, and I do like it. Just saying. Amen. And we have fitness stuff in our basement that, yeah, a little dusty. Amen. Everybody's fighting their battle. No judgment. Amen. All right. Literally, so the world has comparison. We compare ourselves with others. That's a lie of the enemy. The image of God, you're created in His image. You're beautifully and wonderfully made just how you are. You don't have to compare. I don't have to compare my preaching or oral ability with any other pastor. Because I'll fall flat. I'll be quite honest. I hated speaking in front of people. Hated it. But the Lord had something for me. So here I am. And I'm going to give you what the Lord gives me. The best to my ability, but I'm relying on Him. Because I wouldn't be here if it wasn't for God. The reason you're here today is because of God. God has something for you today. Whether you believe it or not, but for you to wake up and take time on a beautiful Sunday morning to come listen to a minister speak, God has something for you.
That's right.
Hallelujah. You may not understand it, but there's something that drew you today to receive from the Lord.
Amen.
It's called the Holy Spirit. So there's the world, and the world is an element of your flesh. That's what the world and the flesh work together. I'm getting somewhere. Just follow me. Then there's the good old enemy here. He's not good. And he's not old, but he's the enemy. He works in your mind and thoughts. Thoughts come your way. I'm not good enough. Right?
Absolutely.
Thoughts come your way. That's the enemy. Third one is yourself. And that's your spirit. Unbelief. You start believing you're not good enough. On the inside, I'm not good enough. What does that lead to? People do things they should not do because of unbelief. If they only believed, they wouldn't do things to their body or their life or to others if they believed in themselves and what God did. Amen. I'm telling you, Jesus is the way. So you can see right here, you have the world on this side that has what you're supposed to be like, and the enemy on this side trying to tell you what you think you should be like, and then yourself thinking you're not good enough and judging yourself. Sometimes the hardest thing to get over is yourself. Everybody wants to blame the enemy, but I'm telling you, if you've been in places and people have said things to you and that's rooted down in you, your hardest step in life is to step away from self. Amen. Why do you think salvation is the first thing the Lord does? That's for you to step out of self and receive Him. Amen. First thing, He deals with your heart above everything else. You may look a certain way, feel a certain way, act a certain way, live a certain way. The Lord doesn't care about that for first things first. He looks at your heart. He's like, I want to take out that stony, hard heart and give them a heart of flesh. First thing the Lord does. Why? Because He knows out of your heart flow the issues of life, the Bible says. I believe it's in Proverbs 4. Not sure about that. But notice how we are made in God's image, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. We are a spirit, we have a soul, and we live in a body. And when you understand that, you realize that the spiritual things are way more important than the fleshly things. Let me say that again. I am a spirit. I'm a spirit being. How can I say that? Because God's a spirit, and I'm made in His image. So I'm made a spiritual being. When you pass away, what dies? Your flesh. What lives? Your spirit and soul. The very image of what God made you to be. Yes. Think about that. There's a lot of people going to graveyards today to pay respect. They're just going there for the flesh. I'm not against it. All I'm saying is the spirit and the soul are one of two places. Okay? They've left the body. Yep. This flesh is a physical vessel that holds a spirit and a soul. Yep. And when you understand that, you don't live for the flesh. You live after the Spirit because that's what lives eternal. Amen. Amen. When you understand that, the image you're trying to focus on is your spiritual image. And by doing that, your first decision is to find Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, because that will give you the eternal life in the place you want it to be. Because everybody has eternal life. Everlasting life, I should say. Everybody has everlasting life. Where you spend it is your decision. Where you spend it is your decision. So why don't we invest in what lasts forever instead of what's temporal? That's the image we need to start looking into. Where's our heart? When I'm a pastor. When I look at some, I could care less what they look like, what they dress like, what they act like. It makes no difference to me. When I go fishing on a boat, I don't really care what fish I catch. As long as I catch something. It can be a little sunfish and I'll be happy. Man, they caught me a fish. Amen. I don't worry about what it looks like. I worry about the heart of the matter. Because I know if the heart can get changed for God, everything else will fall into place. Everything. Some of you may not know him, but there was a man named Bill Ireland that passed away now that I met doing chaplain at the hospital. On his deathbed. His life was in shambles. And a lot of it was done to himself. And he shared this testimony, so it's not like I'm sharing something. But he went home to be with the Lord. But it was one of those things, I went right into that room. Just by the Spirit of God, it's like, this guy's getting saved. That's what I told myself on the inside. And his life miraculously changed. Radically. Started coming to church, loved Jesus. And he's like, to the point where it got a little ridiculous, where he's trying to like worship me, like, thank you so much for saving my life. I didn't save you, the Lord did. Amen. But it was that change of heart that gave him life longer. Yeah. And he lived years after the doctors said no. Mm-hmm. I mean, kidneys failing, liver failing, everything that alcohol and drugs do was operating in his life. I mean, just messed up on the inside. But the Lord, I went to doctor's appointments with him, all these things. Just, we became close. But it was because the Lord's like, go in there and minister my word to him. Love him where he is. Don't judge him. Because a judging spirit and a judging person would have looked in the room and been like, and kept on walking. But that's not God. That's not God. What image are we? That's a selfish, prideful image to ignore the person that needs help. Think about it. Jesus with the woman at the well. Samaritan. Samaritans were considered half-breeds. Don't even associate. The Jews were not supposed to associate with Samaritans at all. Definitely not a man with a woman. What did Jesus do? I don't live by that. She needs living water. So what did he do? He went. The image of the Lord, the image of God in him compelled him to go. Amen. The image of God in you compelled you to come here today. God has great things for each and every one of you. Amen. Wonderful things for each and every one of you. But the Lord can, he can apply these truths in every situation of your life, every day of your life, when you take on his image. You take on his resemblance instead of the world's. When you understand true image as God created you, you will not chase nor worship any other. I'll say that again. Write this down. Remember this. When you understand your true image as God created you, when you understand how God created you and why he created you, you will not chase nor worship any other image. Not a graven image. You won't idol worship anything. You won't serve anything else like money or fame or fortune, because it's settled on the inside of you. God is my fame. God is my fortune. God is my everything.
Amen. Hallelujah.
It'll save you time. Yes. It'll save you money. It'll save your marriage. It'll save your family. It'll save you. In every way, when you adjust your image to resemble God instead of man.
Come on.
Get a hold of that, church.
Hallelujah.
Get a hold of that, church. If I could have a little music, I'm going to ask you to bow your heads and close your eyes. God says, come as you are. You may have accepted a certain image contrary to God's. He can change it today. There may be some images you have of things over the years that you brought in here today. But this altar up here is a place for you to leave that image. Just like they did in Scripture, they put things on the altar and the Lord burned them up. The Lord wants to heal those negative images. He wants to remove them and replace them with his image. You are God's and he is perfect. That is who you are. You are made in his image and his likeness. I am the righteousness of God. I am a child of God. I am redeemed of the Lord. I am redeemed from the curse of the law of sin and death. I am forgiven. I am set free. I am sealed by the Holy Spirit. I am justified. I am sanctified. I am loved. I am blessed. I am saved. Philippians 1:6. I just want your eyes closed so you can allow the Holy Spirit to minister to you. You listening online, just close your eyes and let the Lord, as I speak a few more scriptures, let the Lord minister to you. Take on his image. Philippians 1:6. Be confident of this very thing, that he who has done a good work in you will complete it until the day of Jesus Christ. He began that work before you were conceived in your mother's womb. That's when it all started. He's going to complete it in you. He's going to complete it in you. 2 Corinthians 3, 17 and 18. Now the Lord is the Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. But we all, with unveiled face, beholding as in a mirror the glory of the Lord, are being transformed into the same image from glory to glory, just as by the Spirit of the Lord. Each and every person under the sound of my voice, if you're listening today and you've never asked Jesus into your heart, a lot of this may be sounding foreign to you or unobtainable. But that's a lie of the enemy. Because in Him, we live and move and have our being. He supplies everything that we have need of. So if there's anyone here that has not asked Jesus Christ into their heart, made Him Lord of their life, I pray they do so now. Every head bow, every eye closed. If you've never asked Jesus into your life, you never confessed Him as your Lord and Savior, right now I just ask you to lift your hand right where you're seated. Never asked Jesus into your heart and would like to do so today. It's a simple prayer that'll change your life forever. There's a heaven to gain and a hell to shun. If today were your last day here on this earth, do you know for sure that you're going to heaven? If you're questioning that, I want you to raise your hand right where you are. Not sure that you're going to heaven. If you're here today and you love Jesus, but you haven't been where you've been, where you should be. You've, what the Bible says, become lukewarm or is backslidden. This prayer applies to you. You can just lift your hand right where you are. God loves you. God cares about you. And God wants to bring increase to your life. Hallelujah. For those listening online, if you've never asked Jesus into your heart, you can repeat this prayer. Say, "Dear Lord Jesus, come into my heart. Forgive me of my sin. Cleanse me from all unrighteousness. Jesus, I believe that you died on the cross and that you rose again. Jesus, I believe that you're coming back again for me. Thank you for dying for me. I am saved. I am born again, and I'm on my way to heaven. In Jesus' name, amen." Amen. I'm not finished yet. I want to thank those for listening online. Thanks for joining us. We love you. Be blessed. But for those here this morning,